We learned the pasuk, we didn't finish it. Okay, we're learning this in the beginning of Tzav, that there was a fire constantly burning on the Mizbeach, and they had to empty out the ashes every morning, and the Kohenim weren't lazy to do it. So the bottom pasuk, again, we learned this pasuk, but we didn't finish it. The fire on the altar should be kept burning at all times. And now it's a positive mitzvah that you have to have the fire burning on the Mizbeach. The Kohen had to put wood on it every morning. That's the fire he put the carbon oil on. It was the same fire he put the fire of the peace offerings. Now, why does the pasuk say the peace offerings instead of, let's say, the sin offerings? Because the Torah doesn't want to use the term sin offerings, which is something negative. So it brought on the concept of the ola or the shlamim. And then the pasuk concludes, a permanent fire should remain aflame on the Mizbeach, not to be extinguished. So there's a positive mitzvah to have a fire constantly burning. There's a negative mitzvah that you're not allowed to extinguish the fire. Now the Mefarshim point out, the fact that over here the Torah says three concepts of fires, meaning like we learned there were three fires on the Mizbeach. There was the big fire that they burnt the Korbanos on. There was another smaller fire, which was called the Maroch Ketana, the smaller fire that they lit the Mizbeach HaKetayris from, the incense altar they lit from this. And there's a third fire on the Mizbeach, keeping the fire going. There was constantly lit fire on the wood. And the Kohen would put two pieces of wood on the fire in the morning, two pieces of wood on the fire in the afternoon, to make sure that the fire was constantly burning on the Mizbeach.
What about at night?
At night it was also burning. A whole night it burnt. Now, you're late. Now, there's an interesting, so to speak, lesson. We learned already in the past, the Mizbeach refers to the heart of the Jew. Right? So you learned, where do you bring the korban? On the Mizbeach, you sacrifice your animal soul. You bring it as a korban to Hashem. The heart of the Jew is the Mizbeach. The pasuk says, Eish tamid tukar al Mizbeach. You need to have a constant fire burning on the Mizbeach. We said at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim begins with the word tamid and ends with the word tamid. In Big Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim. The opening phrase of Shulchan Aruch is Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. I always place God opposite me, Tomid, constantly. The end of Aruch Chaim Shulchan Aruch ends with the pasuk that says Tev Lev Mishta Tomid. It always party. A person should always be Mishta Tomid. Should always be in a joyful mood, partying mood. Tov Lev, not Mashka. I don't know Psukim. Tov Lev Mishter Tamid, it comes from the person should always be parting. And it says, these are Shnayim Layim Eila Samid. These are the two carbon Tamids that you have in the morning and the afternoon, meaning at the beginning of Halacha, that God is always opposite you. And also the next thing is to serve Hashem with Simcha. These are the two Tamids that the Pasuk speaks about. So the Pasuk, the Mefarshim say over here, says, Eish Tamid, the fire of Tamid, took it on the Mizbeach, should be burning on the Mizbeach. What Tamid? The Tamid of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, and Tev Lev Mishta Tamid. And then the Pasuk simply says, Loi Sichbe, which means don't extinguish the fire. But the Mefarshim say like this, Eish Tamid Tukar Alam Mizbeach. The fire of Tamid, the two Tamids, that should be burning on the Mizbeach. Loi. No, mean negativity. Tichbe, that you should extinguish. Simply means Loi Tichbe, don't extinguish it. But the Mefarshim say, Loi, the negativity, the no good, Tichbe, that you should extinguish. In other words, the fire of the Jew should be constantly burning on the Mizbeach, in the heart of the Jew, that it should be constantly inflamed with the fire of Hashem. That's the way they finish this up. Okay, next. Pasuk Zayin. Then the Pasuk says like this. V'zei steiris ha-mincha, and the Mepharshim say, even though we learned about that before in Vayikra, we learned about the carbon, the flower offering, the carbon mincha, but there's a few dinim that weren't mentioned yet, and therefore the Torah repeats the laws of the carbon mincha. And he says like this. One more thing they say, which is a very interesting thing. The Mizbeach had to have a constant fire burning on it. Okay? They make a cheshbin. The Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu used was functioning for 116 years. They make a cheshbin 39 years in the wilderness, 14 in Gilgal, 13 in Nob, and 15 giving. Okay? That mean, and then when they built the Beis HaMikdash, or Mishkan Shilah, they actually built the new Mizbeach. But the Mizbeach that they had was lit constantly 24-7 for 116 years. Three big fires. Now, one second.
No, desert.
The Mizbeach and the Cheshis, this was a copper Mizbeach. Mizbeach and the Cheshis, it says, even though it was a very thin copper layer on the Mizbeach, okay, nevertheless, it never burnt. Can you imagine having a fire on a thin layer of copper, a big fire burning for 116 years, day and night, 24-7 for 116 years. And yet, the Mizbeach never got ruined. That itself was a miracle in itself.
It was covered on wood, right?
Huh?
Was covered on wood?
It was covered. No.
It was made out.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was made out of wood, coated with copper. Right. The Torah calls it Mizbeach Adama. At the end of Yisra, but Mizbeach Adama Rashi says doesn't mean the Mizbeach was from earth. It was connected to the ground, was on the ground. But the Mizbeach itself was wood, with coating of copper. And yet, after 116 years, it never burnt. It's an unbelievable miracle. If you think about it, it was an unbelievable miracle.
The 160 years
referred 16.
The 116 years is referred to the Mizbeach and Shiva, right?
Mizbeach what? No, the Mizbeach and the Midbar.
Until.
This Mizbeach.
Until Shiva.
Yeah, okay. Until Shiva, right?
Right.
Okay. What's happened when they were found?
In Shiloh?
They weren't traveling. No,
they're traveling.
That's what I was asking. Didn't turn off?
It was covered, but
I didn't see anywhere where it speaks about it. But Papashtas, certainly Sikhba, means it had to burn even when it was traveling.
But it was covered when they were traveling.
They covered it with fireproof color. I don't know. I don't know what they did. I don't know.
Another miracle.
I don't know. I guess so. So it's the same thing also. The thin copper layer never melted, wooden structure was never charred. I don't know what happened. I have to look at it. It should say somewhere what happened when they traveled the 40 years in the Midbar. How did it work? Like,
When they said
I don't remember often seeing anywhere where it says what happened, but I'm sure it does say somewhere. Okay. In Pasuk Zayin it says like this. This is the law of the carbon mincha. What is the mincha? The flower offering. There are various different types of flower offerings. If you learned before, remember, a person was too poor, he couldn't afford a bull, couldn't afford birds, he could only afford flour. So it says, this is the din of the mincha. And by the way, again, the Mepharshim say, the dasik we said, by learning the laws of Eila, it's like you bring an Eila. The same thing, by learning the laws of mincha, it's also considered as if a person actually brought a carbon mincha. Now, what is it? Now, what did they do? They brought it, in other words, like this. The Kohen took a vessel, a vessel of the Beis HaMikdash, containing the meal offering, and he touches it at the, what it says over here, bring it, Lefnei Hashem or Pnei HaMizbeach. Lefnei Hashem is west, Pnei HaMizbeach is south. So the, how do you reckon south, southwest? So he said he brought it to the southwest part of the Mizbeach. It touched over there. And then it says like this. Because Lifnei Hashem and Pnei HaMizbeach, Lifnei Hashem is west. In front of the Mizbeach is south. Push it in the directions of the Beis HaMikdash. So what does it mean here when it says both things together? Lifnei Hashem, Pnei HaMizbeach. So it means it was brought southwest. And then the Kohen uplifted what's called the Kmitza. Now remember the Kmitza we learned, the Kohen took a handful, and he brushed off from the top, and he brushed off with the pinky from the bottom, so basically it was three fingers full of flour. Now with that, he did, Behedim Mimenu Bekumtze, what is Kmitza, meaning with the handful, he took up miselas amincha from the flour offering, or mishamna and from the oil, the eis kol alaveno and all the frankincense, which is a type of spice, which was on the mincha. Meaning the flour offering was mixed with oil and the spice. Now after it was all mixed, that's when the Kohen took a kmitza, and that's what was burnt on the mizbeach. V'hikter ha-mizbeach, and he actually put it on the mizbeach. Reach nichoyach, a good smell. As kedoshta, it's memorial portion. Okay? Meaning, this is the remembrance for Hashem. And it says what? Because this is the Hashem will remember the owner of the korban, and this will be satisfaction to Hashem. In other words, even though it was a cheap korban, seemingly, it was only a little bit of flour. And there was a poor man bringing it. But the pasuk says when a person brought it, Hashem remembered it forever, so to speak, that this is what the person brought. So the whole, remember we learned the, it was a sidus or eifa. Okay, remember we learned there was like 43 and a something eggs size. Okay, a tenth of an eifa. Okay. So it was a tremendous amount of flour, but the whole thing that got burnt on the Mizbeach was only one hand breadth. Now, Okay, a tenth of an eifah, 43.2 eggs. So it means, like we learned last time, it was 86 and a half eggs. 86 and a half ounces. A sidus or eifa that they brought, the mincha, had to be 86 and a half ounces. So like 5 pounds is 80. It's over 5 pounds of flour. Mixed with shemen, mixed with the levaino. From this whole 5 pounds of flour, they only took one handful, three fingers, and burnt on the mizbeach. What was the rest of it? So the pasuk says, "Vaneisaris mimena, whatever is left over, yechlu Aaron of one of Aaron's children are allowed to eat." Okay, now it meant it can only be eaten by men; it couldn't be eaten by the women. It only the male kohenim were allowed to eat it. They had to be eaten in the chutz, in the courtyard of the mishkan. It had a din of a carbon. And here the Torah says, "Yechlu Aaron of one of." So Aaron of Anav means only the male Kohanim, not the wives of the Kohanim. Certain things, Korbanis, the wives of the Kohanim are allowed to eat. Certain things, like this flower offering, only the male Kohanim are allowed to eat. Where? B'chatzat Eil Meir Yechlua, they have to eat it there, in the courtyard. But the Torah says like this, Lei Seyofer Chametz, you're not allowed to bake it Chametz. In other words, you have to make sure it didn't have time to rise like matzah. So they weren't able to leaven it up in a way that it actually became chametz. It had to be matzah. Now the Abarbanel explains, one second, why is it? Because the Abarbanel explains, soon the pasuk says, at the next pasuk, chok meishi Hashem. The kohenim eating it are like eating a korban. By korbanus we learned ki chocham sa'er v'chol devash leisaktiru mimenu isha l'Hashem. They were never allowed to bring a korban out of chametz, with a few, very few exceptions. So because the Torah likens the kohenim eating the leftover to Ishe Hashem, the fires of Hashem, meaning the korbanus. So therefore, just like a korban is allowed to be brought out of bread, Hashem didn't want the kohenim eating the leftover flour as chametz, because that again is similar to the concept of a korban. Why? What's the reason for that? Like we learned last time, because chametz symbolizes haughtiness, Hashem didn't want any haughtiness on the Mizbeach. So the fact that the Torah likens the eating of the leftovers of the flour to Ishe Hashem, so you're not allowed to eat it in any way whatsoever. The showbread was not chametz, only Pesach.
So they were eating like shmura matzah?
It wasn't shmura matzah, the showbread were high. But it was still not chametz. It still wasn't chametz. Okay, leizei afa chametz chalkam nasati eisim ishay. This is the part I gave to the kohenim as their share in the karbonis. Kodesh kadoshim he is a holy of holies, meaning it had a din of a holy holy karbon. Therefore, kachatos chaosham, just like the sin offerings and the guilt offerings that had to be eaten, like we said, the same din only by the male kohenim in the chatzur of the oil maid.
But it was still mixed with the oil and the frankincense.
Yes.
So it tasted different than matzah.
Yes. Matzah is plain flour and water. This was more than flour and water. This didn't have water in it.
Yeah. If it is flour and oil, is it hamotzi or what is it? If it's flour
you
and
mean,
oil.
What bracha did they make on it?
Is it mezainis?
It's mezainis. They baked it. Loi se'ofer chamed, they baked it. It was oil and spice. Probably tastes good. Flour, oil, and spice.
That's why they didn't give it to women. It tastes good.
Huh? That's why. That's why they didn't give it to the women, because it tasted good.
Not fair.
Right.
Complain. Okay. It says, okay. But the interesting, here the Torah says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Torah says clearly what we're learning now. Kol zocher b'vnei Aaron yechlenu. The Torah says any male. But what's interesting, the Gemara learns out that even a kohen with a blemish, with a mum, is allowed to eat this. Because the Torah says kol zocher, any male kohen. Why does the Torah say kol zocher? Even meaning a kohen with a blemish would be allowed to eat it. Chokalem lo derisechem. It's an eternal portion for them forever. Mishi Hashem for the kabbanis of Hashem. Kol asher yiga bahem yigdash. Whoever will touch them, meaning, whoever touches them will become holy. Meaning, it's forbidden to, just like it says, it's forbidden to cook meat and milk in the same pots. If something touches a meal offering, it becomes holy.
What's it mean?
No, he says, in such a way that it can absorb its taste. That means, if you took this carbon, the flour offering, and it absorbed the taste through heat into the walls of the vessel now became a din of holy.
That's what you do with this, if it's holy.
But nothing, it had to be used only in the base of Migdash. Uh-huh. Okay, so this... just one more thing over here in a second. Okay, that's it with this one. Okay, next. Now, here the Torah is going to do a new type of flower offering. There was a din that when a kohen, the first time they worked in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan of the Beis HaMikdash, they had to bring a flour offering. That was their inaugural beginning work, is to bring a flour offering. A kohen gadol, brought a flour offering every day, twice a day. As we'll soon learn, half in the morning and half in the afternoon, and the Mepharshim say 9 reasons for the Kohen Gadol to bring a carbon twice a day. But only a Kohen Gadol brought a carbon twice a day. Everybody, all the other Kohenim, only brought it the first time they started working in the Beis HaMikdash. No, this is... We'll soon see, but the Torah says you have to bring a flour offering. What did you ask?
You're saying that only when they initially started, not every day, that just when they first started working.
The first thing they started working, that was the inaugural carbon. Only the Kohen Gadol brought twice a day.
In the age of 30, you're talking the first time when they come to the... To
whatever age they were.
You're not saying like if the once a month of the year they work, but that time...
No. First time they ever started working in the Beis HaMikdash, whatever age they were. The age where they were allowed to work. Okay, we'll soon see why in a second. But let's see this insight. This is the carbon of Aaron and his children, meaning only the Kohen's carbon, that they should bring to Hashem. And the day each one will be inaugurated. So this is speaking about the regular Kohenim. The day they began working, that's the day they need to bring the carbon. What do they have to do? Now the Torah is mixing both together. A tenth of an epha, like we said, 43.2 eggs. Machsisa ba'beker, half in the morning, or machsisa ba'erev, and half in the afternoon. This half is, but when the Torah says half in the morning, half in the afternoon, that's only the Kohen Gadol. So the Pasuk is mixing both things together. B'yemi ma'ashachai say, the day any Kohen becomes inaugurated, you have to bring this carbon. In addition to that, the Kohen Gadol brought it once in the morning, once in the afternoon. Now, here the Gemara says, this flour offering was baked into 12 loaves. They took the 43.2 eggs, meaning the 86 ounces, so a little over 5 pounds, and from 5 pounds they made 12 challahs with it. Okay? Now, what did they do? Al-Machavas, this was made in a different way. This wasn't baked in an oven. This was on a frying pan. It should be made in a pan with oil. Scalded shall you bring it. And we'll soon see exactly what it is. It's actually scalded in boiling water. It wasn't really baked. It was more cooked than actually baked. But let's first see, 1 second. Let's first see over here. Why is it important for a Kohen Gadol to bring a flour offering twice a day? Number one, if he wants to bring a carbon, let him bring a richer carbon. Second, the Kohen Gadol was the richest Kohen. Because the Gemara says on the Pasuk, in Parshas Emor, when the Torah says, a Kohen Gadol me'achov, you know who he can become tamei to or not, so it says, a Kohen Gadol me'achov, it doesn't only say the Kohen Gadol, it's a Kohen who is greater than his brothers. So the Gemara learns out, he had to be richer than all the other Kohanim. If he wasn't, all the other Kohanim had to donate money to him, that he should become the richest person. It was a sign of respect that they need to give to the Kohen Gadol. So it says like this. The eyes, there's 9 reasons he brings down, some of the very interesting reasons, why the Kohen Gadol had to bring a carbon. Why that? Once a week, once a month, once a year, and why... Not only every day, but once in the morning, once in the afternoon. Half of the 43.2 ounces, eggs, and that's half of the 5 pounds in the morning, and half of the 5 pounds in the afternoon. 6 loaves in the morning, 6 loaves in the afternoon. Why? So he says like this. Number one, everybody looked at the Kohen Gadol to forgive them for their sins. What was the purpose of the Kohen Gadol? The purpose of the Kohen Gadol is the bind between Hashem and the Jews. He was Hashem's messenger on earth in the Beis HaMikdash. So everybody was relying on him to become forgiving the Jewish people for their sins. Therefore, he had to be the purest of all Jews. And therefore, he needed Hashem should bring a korban every day as a kapara for any sin that might have possibly have been. And they bring down, even though the kohen didn't sin, but like we learned, the pasuk says, "Ein tzadik baris hasheyasa tov lo yechto." There is no person that lo yechto, which Chassidus explains doesn't mean he doesn't sin. He means he doesn't lack anything. So this korban was to keep the kohen gadol the purest of all things. In fact, in this last week's parsha, you know, parsha's chukas, it speaks about the part. Adum is all parenthetical, by the way. The Rambam describes the great extent that they went to make sure the Parah Aduma never became Tamei. It says, when they needed a Parah Aduma, there would be underground tunnels that women would have their babies there, that they were certain there was never a Tuma there, because it was in virgin soil, they built underground tunnels. And women had the babies there and raised the babies that were going to be dealing with the Parah Aduma. And then when they finally grew up and they needed to take them out, they would ride on big elephants with broad covers on it, you know, in a way that it was impossible for somebody to become Tamei, the Parah Aduma, or the people working with the Parah Aduma. In a similar vein, the Kohen Gadol, who represented the purity and the forgiveness of the Jewish people, needed to be 100% pure. And therefore Hashem said, bring me a carbon in the morning and a carbon in the afternoon of every day. That's one reason.
Huh?
Yeah, they lived there.
In the
tunnel? Yeah, whatever. I guess they wanted to. Okay. Another thing the Mefarshim explained, why did Hashem want a Kohen Gadol to bring a carbon? Because when people saw that the Kohen Gadol brought a carbon, that means even he realized he needs to bring kapara, so then everybody else would say, listen, if he could do it, I for sure could bring a kapara, and therefore they wouldn't hesitate to bring a carbon. Another thing he says, people might be embarrassed to bring a sin offering. Why? Because you know, everybody's going to see, are you bringing a sin offering? So again, by the Kohen Gadol bringing the sin offering, what do people see? That if he's not embarrassed, then why should I be embarrassed? Another thing is not to embarrass the poor people. Like this we said, you know, poor people brought the flower offering and rich people brought a bigger carbon. The Kohen Gadol, who was wealthy, also brought a flower offering to show there's nothing to be embarrassed about bringing a cheaper carbon if this is what you could afford. The first reason is to subdue the Kohen Gadol's gaiva, so to speak, that it shouldn't be haughty, that even the Kohen Gadol needs to bring the flower offering. Another reason is something like this. Somebody could think, why did Hashem tell us to bring a flower offering? Like we said, from the 5 pounds, only three fingers went, right? And the rest, not this one, but the other mincha, was eaten by the Kohanim. So somebody could say, you know why Hashem wanted it? He wanted to give food to the Kohanim. So Hashem said, you know what? That's not the truth. I'm going to tell you to bring a flour offering that nobody eats. This flour offering that the Kohanim brought, nobody ate. To show that the flour offering has nothing to do with filling your stomach. Just like by the regular animal korbanos. There are korbanos that everybody ate, and there are korbanos that went completely on the fire. So the same thing Hashem wanted to show by the flour offering, there are certain flour offerings that you eat, and certain flour offerings which is completely burnt on the Mizbeach. Another thing is that sometimes, Kainim were great, but there are still nothing personal. There are still people. You know, can you imagine like this? You get 5 pounds of flour for a regular mincha. And the Kohen said like this, okay, I have to take a handful to burn on the Mizbeach, right? The rest goes to me. So he's going to be cheap on the Kemitza. He'll be cheap. He won't take a full Kemitza, he'll take a little bit less that he can have more flour for himself to eat. So said, here Hashem said, this is completely burnt to show that they're not going to be cheap on doing it. Another reason is, that just like every day in the Beis HaMikdash, there are private korbanos and public korbanos, the same thing over here, Hashem wanted in the flower offerings, there should be a private korban of a person who brings the flower offering, and then a public flower offering, which the Kohen brought. The Kohen Gadol brought as a public flower offering. Let me just finish the ninth reason. And the ninth reason is very interesting. Why did the Kohen Gadol have to bring a korban every day? So he says, because Aaron caused the eagle. Aaron was instrumental in making the golden calf, the eagle Azov. And that sin lingers on permanently. Every Kohen Gadol is a descendant of Aaron HaKohen. He's taking the place of Aaron HaKohen. So just like Aaron HaKohen had the sin of the eagle over his head, every Kohen Gadol had the sin of the eagle over his head. And therefore Hashem said, I want you to bring a korban, because Hashem said, I'm not punishing you for the eagle one time. Hashem constantly, in Pakti Pakadati, Hashem says, I will always punish you for the eagle. Hashem says to the Jewish people, anytime you sin, I'm going to mix the eagle into it. You ever see in human relationships, you get into a fight with somebody? You have a present fight. You bring up all the past fights from 1,000 years, 1,000 years ago. Why are you bringing up fights from 10 years ago today? Today you're fighting about a new thing. Why are you bringing up 10 years ago? Huh?
Because people don't change.
People don't change. No, but the point is, because it always lingers on. It always lingers on. And even when things are good, and you don't even remember the fights of the past, once the fights come, everything from the past comes up. So Hashem said, every day in the Beis HaMikdash, there's a remembrance of the eagle. If there's a remembrance of the eagle, then I want that there should be every day a Kohen Gadol bringing a carbon for it. And therefore Hashem says, every day he has to do it. And that's why he says, in the pasuk over here, Zeh Korban Aaron Ubanov. What does that mean? He says there, by Aaron, he said, what did Aaron tell Moshe? Vashlecheo be'esh. When Moshe said to Aaron, what are you doing? What did you do? He said, I don't know. They gave me gold. I threw into the fire. Vayetzei ha'egel hazeh. This eagle came out. So he said the word zeh. So Hashem said, for the zeh that you said, korban aron uvanov, that's why you have to bring a korban every day. So it is connected to the eagle. What?
We said there's two. A prati, korban, and to show.
Right. Not so, public and private.
Okay, so public and private. There was the same as Beach used?
Yep.
So, if he brings twice a day, and all of the Jewish nation is coming, isn't he taking time from the Jewish nation instead of bringing it once in the morning, when he has to be doing it twice?
There was time for everybody. There was time in the Beis
HaMikdash. There's only one oven. It's
not one oven, one big mizbech. It's a big fire. They were able to burn a lot at the same time.
A lot at the same time?
But why Taka was there every day, a private carbon, a public carbon? What does it mean on a personal level, in the personal Beis HaMikdash, what does it mean? Every day you have to bring a carbon, private and public. Every day in our lives, we need to feel part of the community when we do things. And at the same time, we have to feel ourselves as an individual. In other words, Atifishman Atziba, like we learned, a Jew needs to be part of the community. And at the same time, a Jew needs to realize we are all individuals with our own unique individual way of serving Hashem. And that way, in the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem said, listen, I want public korbanos, you know, the shachris korban, the mincha korban that they bought from the half a shekel that everybody participated in. And Hashem says at the same time, I want private korbanos to be brought in the Mishkan. The same thing with the flower offering, okay? Because the flower offering is equal to the animal offerings. There's private and there's public. But Hashem says, we need both. You need to be part of the community, and you need at the same time to be as an individual.
How would you make challah from matzah?
What do you mean challah from matzah?
They bring challah korban. You make challah from this flour.
They didn't make challah. Who said they make challah?
You tell challah.
I didn't say challah. I said bread. Bread is also matzah is also bread. It says they had loisiyah for chametz. It wasn't allowed to be baked as chametz. That one, the first mincha they said is the kohen baked it. The new mincha that we're learning about now that had to be cooked, right. Cooked. Mm-hmm. Cooking doesn't make it chametz. We'll see in a sec. We don't learn it yet. Okay, it has to be brought part in the morning, part in the afternoon. Okay. Okay, now it says it has to be brought tamid constantly, meaning that's the kind God was offering it brought every day. Now, another thing the Mefarshim explain, another reason why the kind God had to bring it every day, and he said like this, the Gemara says, a kind God is likened to an angel, Malach Hashem Tzfokis, he's like an angel of God. The Gemara says, the Malachim renew themselves every day. They rejuvenate themselves every day to be fresh in the Aveda. Kohen Gadol, who worked in the Beis HaMikdash, needed to feel like every day is a new beginning. It's the first day that he's actually doing the Aveda. And therefore he had to bring the new carbon, like the inauguration carbon though, every day, to show a Kohen Gadol needed to have a fresh start every day.
How did angels do it?
I don't know. The Gemara says they renewed themselves. I don't know how they do it. I'm not an angel, so I don't know. I don't plan to be either.
They just push refresh.
Yeah, restart. But the lesson is, as we say, one of the reasons why Meidani Lefanecha, why do we say Meidani in the morning? Or to explain even deeper, I mentioned this in the past, I remember, but this class and that, but the Rebbe asked a number of times, the Rebbe asked a very simple question. We sleep 8 hours a night, according to the Rambam, if we're lucky. And Kirtan Shechnach, it says 6 hours a night. Some people are very frum, they sleep 12 hours a night, they're very frum, they want to keep the mitzvah properly. The bottom line is, if you think for a minute, sleep is a waste of time. So why did Hashem make us that we need sleep? Hashem could have made us in a way that we don't need sleep, that we should continuously function.
30 minutes and go.
Yeah, nothing. Hashem could make us function, go and go and keep going. Why did Hashem make sleep? So the Rebbe explained, and the same thing, by the way, the Rebbe wants to explain about a birthday. L'chayr, a birthday, you're not a year older on a birthday. And a birthday, you're only a day older than you were the day before. And the day before, you're also only a day older than the day before. So what's special about a birthday? It's only a day older than the day before. So any day of the year, we're a day older than the day before. What is the uniqueness of a birthday? And the Rebbe explained both things with the same concept. When you wake up in the morning, you're a new person to be able to start a new day. If you wouldn't sleep, it would be one long, boring hemshech, one long, boring continuation of life, and therefore you would not be able to rejuvenate yourself with a new beginning. And that's the whole concept of a birthday. Yeah, a birthday, you're only a day older, but the fact that you're starting a new year by making something out of the birthday, it inspires the person to make a new beginning. New resolutions, new hachlotis, new things are being good. The same thing when you wake up in the morning, you have to be constantly refreshed. As a new avoida, that today will be different than yesterday. If you didn't have sleep, you wouldn't have that. So this is the concept what the Mefarshim explained. Why did the Kohen Gadol need to bring a new carbon every day? Because every day, he need to rejuvenate his enthusiasm for serving God. Every Jew is a kohen gadol a little bit within them. Okay? So, what does it mean? In fact, the Baal Turim says on the pasuk Mamlechas Koyanim v'goy kodesh, that Hashem said, you are Mamlechas Koyanim, a priestly nation. He says that every Jew is really a kohen gadol. A Jew in a certain respect is a kohen gadol. Which means that the Torah is teaching us that a Jew every day needs to revive, rejuvenate themselves as a new day with a new beginning, with new excitement, new enthusiasm, and so on and so forth. And that's the lesson of the Kohen Gadol, bringing this carbon every day. Okay. Now, even though it says here Tamid, okay, but the Gemara says, in fact, the same question the Gemara asks about the Menorah. It says by the Menorah, Ner Tamid took it, I mean, Eish Tamid, but I'm saying, by the Mizbeach, Eish Tamid means continuous. By the Menorah, it says, Lahalis Ner Tamid. Yet the Pasuk itself says, Me'erev Abaker, from evening to morning. That means they lit the Menorah every evening and it went out in the morning. Except one candle, the Nemar Avi burnt. 24 hours. So the question is, how can you say Tamid? So the Mefarshim ask, how can the Torah say Lalis Ner Tamid, that the Menorah was a Ner Tamid if it was only from night to morning? So Rashi says in Chumash, Rashi answers that the fact that it's every night is called Tamid. So the Mefarshim explain over here, even though it's said by the Kohen, Mincha Tamid, that, so here it doesn't mean Tamid constant, continuous, like it meant by the Mizbeach, it means every day. Okay, now how do you cook this? How do you make this
bread?
This bread, or whatever you call it. Amachavas, it has to be made on a pan. Bashem and Tayasa, it should be made with oil. Murbechas Tviyana, scalded, you should bring it, meaning it has to be completely burnt in the oil. Tufine Minchas Pitim, a repeatedly baked meal offering. Minchas Pitim, broken into pieces. Takiv Reach Nicheach Lashem. So he says like this. Rashi explains, it was scalded in boiling water, baked in an oven, and fried on a pan. Three things happened to this. It was, boiling water, baked in an oven, and fried in a pan.
So it becomes a motzvah. The ingredients has water and oil.
And he says, why does the Torah say, and this is murbecha, means it was like constantly done. And he says, the Mefarshim explain, that scalding, baking, and frying together is called repeatedly baked. Even though it's done all three types, baking, and frying. In fact, he's bringing down Rashi says in the Gemara that after the final frying, it was baked again.
They only did each of those processes once, so they did all three of them multiple times.
No. First it was scalding in boiling hot water, then they baked it, then they fried it in the frying pan, and then Rashi said they baked it even again. To do whatever you want.
Tell them how it tastes.
Yeah, the whole
time. Spicy and olive oil.
After this, they burn everything?
No, this is all burnt on the Mizbeach. Nobody ate it. I wonder if you could eat it after. I wonder what it tastes like.
Which Reach Nechoach
it was? It doesn't say Reach Nechoach. Oh, no, it does say. Tzedakiv Reach Nechoach Lashem. One second, I'll explain this whole thing in a second. V'akein ha-Mashiach tachtav mi-bonav. A Kohen from amongst his son who was anointed in this place, meaning Hashem is speaking to Aaron and his kids. And then he says that any Kohen Gadol that will be in the place of Aaron, Yasa Esa should do it. Chok Olam LaHashem, it's an everlasting decree of Hashem. Kolol Tikta should go up in smoke completely. Okay? Now, there was, when he says over here, Kohen HaMashiach, Tachto, we just mentioned it the other day in between Mincha Ma'ariv, there were, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen HaGadolim were anointed with oil. In the days of Yeshua HaMelech, they hid the oil of anointing. So what made a Kohen Gadol when he put on the eight garments? When he put on the eight garments, that's what made him a Kohen Gadol. Okay, that's what, but even though it was a mitzvah to anoint him, but in the second Beis HaMikdash they didn't have it, so that's how they did it. Okay, now. He says like this. Why was this korban not eaten by the Kohanim? What's the difference? On a regular private korban, the leftover flour was eaten by the Kohanim. And in this korban, it was all burnt on the Mizbeach. So they explain like this. The Rambam writes a Meir in the Vuchma, explains it like this. A flour offering is very cheap and very little. Even 5 pounds of flour is not a lot. Okay? He says, if the Kohen would only be taught to take a kmitz and burn it, the Mizbeach gets nothing. It's a very, like they say in Yiddish, Shvach HaMaisis. It's a very weak korban. There's nothing there. So when a private person brought his korban, what the Kohanim ate was considered part of the korban. Like we learned, that's why they were not allowed to bake it into chametz. Because what the Kohanim ate were part of the korban. So over there, by a private person's korban, it made sense. A little handful was burnt on the Mizbeach. What the Kohanim ate was also a korban. But not that the Mizbeach ate, that the Kohanim ate. But this korban is the korban of the Kohanim. If the Kohanim are eating it, then it's like their korban. So then what's the Mizbeach getting? Only a handful. So the Rambam writes, that's why the Torah says, you need to burn the whole thing. Because otherwise it's like a very cheap carbon on the Mizbeach. And to make it a decent size, Hashem said the whole thing should be burnt.
Isn't that part of the nine explanations
again? Well, that it shouldn't be different than anybody else who brings it. Or the Kohen would be cheap in the Kemitah.
How often?
Yeah,
I mean, 3 times a day.
As many korbanos as people brought.
So they constantly they were eating?
Yes, that's what
they have, like
matzah bread, burnt meat.
You have to understand, it was no shh. The Kohanim had shifts. For a week. 1 week twice a year. Okay? All the korbanos that were edible, like the morning korban, afternoon korban, were completely burnt. A lot of korbanos were completely burnt. The korbanos that were given that the Kohanim could eat, right? Some korbanos even the Kohanim ate and the owner ate, like shlomim. But all the other korbanos, even that the Kohen was allowed to eat, they divided it up amongst the shifts of that week of the Kohanim. So Kohanim ate a lot of meat.
So they had like lunchtime dinners.
They had meat for breakfast, meat for lunch, meat for dinner. Now, the Gemara says that because the Kohanim ate a lot of meat and they walked barefoot on the stone floor of the Beis HaMikdash, they would get sick a lot. And therefore, the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a doctor to cure the Kohanim from their stomach pains from so much meat. Now, somebody asked this evening, what happens if the Kohen's a vegetarian? Mm-hmm. He got a problem. He would starve to death.
No, but
unless he eats the flour offering.
That would work. Rabbi Shusman, but couldn't they mix meat with vegetables, like have a salad? Barbecue.
Can they make stuffed cabbage from the chopped meat?
No, but they're
allowed to bring other food together with it. Out. Yeah.
The kulim, the first of the harvest.
But they used to make a bracha when they ate it.
Okay, so the Beis HaMikdash needs a new cookbook.
Yeah, but
they had the best one.
You're not allowed to leave over the meat. But you're not allowed to leave over the meat after the allotted time. But it was a negative aveir. It was an aveir to leave over meat after the Kohanim ate.
Let me. They for sure ate for Shem Shammai.
Or they could have
done. No, no. It says. Shh. Huh? Pacha. You have pacha. The mitzvah of burning the meat was only if they transgressed the sin. The Torah says they said siru memeno ad beker. Now, certain korbanos were eaten a day and a night, certain korbanos 2 days and a night, right? Like it says in the siddur, we say before haydu. Certain korbanos were eaten. Here. Okay, certain korbanos were eaten l'yayim v'laylat chatzis. Okay, day and night until midnight. Meaning, if they certain korbanos, if they brought them Monday morning, they're allowed to eat them Monday, and Monday night until midnight. That was it. Certain korbanos were eaten l'shnei yamim v'layla echad. Meaning, if it was brought Monday morning, they're allowed to eat them Monday night and Tuesday. By Tuesday, at the end of the day, they had to finish it. Now, certain things were eaten by everybody, whatever it was. Now, the Torah says you're not allowed to leave it over any meat until the morning. But then the Torah says, andei simimenu, if you did, but eish tisreifa, then you have to burn it. Okay? But it wasn't that to begin with they can just go and burn the meat. That's forbidden. It was if they sinned and they left over the meat until the morning, then the Torah says you need to burn the meat because you left it over.
Because you're not sin, they just were not hungry. What do you mean?
But you're not allowed to leave it over.
It says,
they had to get Kohanim that are around, I imagine. There were Kohanim living in the Yerushalayim, right? So what happens if there was a...
overflow.
A good crop of behemoth? So they called another Kohanim, whatever, to eat it.
Help.
They couldn't have a bell ding-ding going into the Veda Mikdash.
They had to sit on a bench and...
They had to eat it, yeah.
Every time you made an Avera, you had to bring a korban. So if you're hungry, you just...
Like I told you then, when people...
But not everything you get to eat.
When you had to pay to sin, people didn't sin so much. If you sin, it cost you to bring a behemoth, okay? Then, you know, if somebody knows, if I do this and it costs me $500, they're not going to do it as much, right? Yeah, so why, you know, people didn't even accidental, they would be much more careful in what they did. Because like we learned, why does a person who sins accidentally need a korban? It was accidental, what did they do wrong? But if they would be a proper behaving Jew, Hashem would never allow even an accidental sin to come to them. The fact that a person could sin, even accidentally, shows that they're connected to some type of sin like this. In fact, it says, just finished this last pasuk. Every meal offering of the kohen is to be entirely burnt. Is not allowed to be eaten. In other words, even though other things you're allowed to do it, and this thing you're not allowed to eat it in any way whatsoever, the whole thing had to get burnt. Okay, we'll stop here.